Thank you, Bill. You may remain seated for the New Testament lesson this morning, which comes to us from the Epistle of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17, through chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross. I've often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before I preach this morning, I want to thank a few people. Jeff and Chris, the rest of the staff, for sure. Bill has a new loaner organ, and so he was showing out this morning. We appreciate him more than I can say. But Jeff has done a yeoman's job this week. I have decided that it's time to offer him a word of affirmation from the congregation. He has done well ever since he's been here, but this week particularly, he's risen to the occasion. For one so young and not even yet out of seminary, he is a seasoned pastor, and to have him at Chamblee is a blessing to us, and I'm very grateful for him. Jeff took care of the church this week. Chris took care of Doogie this week. And Becky Craven took care of me this week. So thanks to all of you. I couldn't have done it without you. I do want you to know, again, that I am not contagious and that I'd like to be 100% tomorrow. I'm not sure that'll happen, but I am better. And as long as I keep getting better, I want to say that's an answer to prayer. Daniel, will you stand up, please? This young man is also an answer to prayer. Daniel was shot not too terribly long ago, and we prayed for him right here in this church. And he's with us this morning. And Ski, I appreciate so much you bringing him to church with you this morning. And so we welcome you and hope you'll be back. And Michael, will you stand up, please? He's a special. Yeah, you the one. Michael's nephew has been in a cancer battle, and now, except for just a few places, he is cancer-free. And his father has been right at the brink of death, and now is walking around and learning how to take care of his new diabetic condition. And so I told Michael when he told me that good news, and reported that our prayers had been answered in those cases. You must feel really special. And he said, I do. So congratulations and pass our good wishes along to your family. Just want you to have an opportunity to see prayers answered. Amen. This has been a week of events. If you have watched the news or heard the news, you would not be surprised to hear me say today, Harper Lee died this week. Do you know Harper Lee? How many of you read the book? That's great. And those of you who didn't read the book, it is not too late. We were required to read To Kill a Mockingbird when I was in school. It was just as good then as now. I reread it before I went back to read the sequel. Or perhaps it was the other way around. And I enjoyed it. Some people didn't, but I did. I like to read, and I love good novels. And most of the time, If we're careful, we learn more from the book than the words that are written on the page say. Now, Lily Grace called me this week in the midst of an excruciating headache. She had news that would not wait. And she said to me, "Well, me mommy, I called to tell you that now I'm reading chapter books." Chapter books. And I said, "I'm so proud of you." And she said, "Well, I just had one, and I've read it now. I need some chapter books." And I said, "Well, anything to get you off the phone, what kind of chapter books do you want?" And she said, "Moody Judy." Do you know Moody Judy books? Moody Judy. Well, I looked them up on Amazon and bought $30 worth and had them shipped to her. Just send them to her address. If she'll read them, I'll buy them. Because people that read learn so much. The words are one thing, and the storyline is one thing, and the moral is one thing, but if you read books and share what you've read with other people, you will soon learn that books go way further than the story if you just read and think beyond the words. You agree? I'm glad. For example, if you think beyond the words, the characters in To Kill a Mockingbird actually can and often do represent the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you think that's blasphemy, but I'm going to show you. Calpurnia, you know who she was in To Kill a Mockingbird? She was the nanny. She was the caregiver. She was the nurturer, the teacher. She was the safe place. She was forgiving, and she was a place... She was in a place in her life where she could take care of the Finch children and be mostly present whenever it was that they needed her. So we would see her as the head of the Trinity. We would see her as God. A mother figure, of course, but we would see her that way if we would just use our heads and our hearts. Atticus was so safe you didn't even have to call him Daddy or Father or Dad or Pa. You could call him Atticus by his name. He was our brother. And then, of course, Jim was the Christ-like figure because he risked his own life in order to save Scout. He thought he might die, but he'd rather he die than Scout die, and so he risked his own life to save her. And then there was Boo Radley. Can you guess who he was? He represents the Holy Spirit. He was hardly ever seen, but he usually left gifts. And so he would be representative of the Holy Spirit. Now, my friend Michael, Reverend Michael Williams, uses these characters to explain the Trinity, and I'm not sure that that's the best way to explain the Trinity. But I am with Michael that it is a creative way and a great way to preach the Trinity, because now you've got people thinking about the three-in-one God Almighty. Well, you can't deny these implications. Harper Lee was brilliant. I would love to be as smart and as creative as she was, but it just isn't in my genes. Now, DNA is a funny thing. My brother and I, if we eat a tomato sandwich that's covered well with mayonnaise, we're going to get mayonnaise, both of us, on the right side of our mouth, on the outside instead of the inside, and it needs a napkin. It happens every time. My sister-in-law points out to us that we need a napkin, and always both of us on the same side of our mouth. And I say to her, "Well, we don't have to worry about it because you will." I like her. DNA is a funny thing. We're as very, very different as we are, in some ways alike. We sort of look alike, but he was a prison guard. He was on the execution squad. He bought and trained bloodhounds for the state of Georgia. I went down there to interview for a job once and tried to sneak three of those bad boys out and home with me so I could take care of them, and I knew they had gotten a bad rap. We're very different in as many ways as we're very alike. DNA is just funny that way. Did you know that you can get your DNA for $99 on Ancestry.com? You can send them your credit card, a little bit of spit or a hair or two out of your brush, and in a few weeks they will tell you if you're Irish, English, Welsh, German, Asian, Native American, African American, Hispanic. They'll send you back a pie chart, and you'll be surprised to learn that there's a little bit of everything in that pie chart. Just $99 in a few short weeks. You know, you can get your dog's DNA. I have often wondered about some dogs I've seen and been around, but I know that Doogie is blue blood. He is purebred, and he's a Karen Terrier, and I wouldn't dare send you $99 to find out that he's not. I think it's a waste of money. I already know that most of my ancestors are horse thieves, and so why do I want them to cut that down for me? But I also know that I am kin to some really famous people and some really good people. I'm kin to Martin Luther King Jr. I'm kin to Mother Teresa. I'm kin to Thomas Jefferson and Craig Sneeberger and Sam McIntyre and Jeff Rogers and John Wesley and Mel and Sylvia. I'm kin to all of those people. I know this because I know who my father is. It's a waste of money. I know that Jews and Gentiles and people of every race and every nation have the same father. I do. We are all brothers and sisters, like it or not. I mean, look around you. Like it or not, these people are your brothers and sisters. Paul says it in the very first verse, and Jeff read it to us. It says this, brothers and sisters, that's what he says right from the beginning, even Paul, brothers and sisters, join me, he says, imitate me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Now, let me translate that for you for 2016 in Shambly. What Paul is telling us really is that we should imitate Christ. He's using himself as an example because he says he does imitate Christ. And we should take up Christ's ways. That's what he's saying. He's saying we're all one family. And we're going to be known by our actions and reactions whether or not we are Christian. And whether or not we are imitating our Lord and Savior and our Father. Now, you probably read or heard someplace this week about Donald Trump and the Pope facing off. Now, let me tell you, right from the beginning, I don't want to know who you're voting for. I don't care who you're voting for, and I don't want you to ask me who I'm voting for. And it really doesn't matter to me what you think about Pope Francis or what you think about Donald Trump. That's not the point. So let me clear that out of the way from the very beginning. What I do want to say to you is that we do the same thing as the Pope did. And we do the same thing as Donald Trump did. We look at people and say, you aren't Christian. And then we look at people and say, yes, I am. And people ought to be able to tell whether we're Christian or not by our actions and our reactions. Remember the verse that Jesus himself gave us that said, you go judge people by the fruit they bear. You do that, he said. if there's no love of Christ, then usually that person is not imitating Christ, whoever they are. I wonder about me sometimes. Do you? Well, I know you wonder about me sometimes. What I really mean is, do you wonder about you sometimes? Are we really imitating Christ? I wonder why it is that it's so often we cannot seem to be faithful enough to imitate our Lord. And so often when we're in discussions and we're debating and things get passionate, we can't show the love of Christ. I want to tell you, and I mean this, that sometimes the church is the meanest place in the world. It ought to be the safest place. It ought to be the sweetest place. It ought to be the most graceful place. It ought to be the most merciful place. But sometimes it is not. I wonder why folks think if they don't like it, if they don't ordain it, if they are not interested in it, then it shouldn't be offered, allowed, tolerated, taught, or preached. I wonder about that. Do you? I wonder why we can't have conversation with each other about the hard things that must be decided. That must be decided. Now let me explain something to you. We're methodical. We follow Wesley's pattern. That's why they call us Methodists, because we do things decently and in order so that we can all have a voice. We're responsible for our own spiritual growth, which is a great relief to me that I'm not responsible for your spiritual growth. Every quadrennium, we do things decently in order, and we do them in clumps of four. Every quadrennium, we have general conference. Now, let me explain the conferences to you. We have the local church. That's one conference. We have the district, Atlanta-Roswell. That's another conference. We have annual conference, which is our conference, which is the North Georgia Conference. Then we have jurisdictional conference, that's our sectional conference. And then we have general conference, which is global United Methodists. Come from all over the world. From May the 10th to May the 20th, they'll gather in Oregon. I don't go, have to be elected to general conference. I'd rather stick a needle in my eye than have to go sit through all those meetings. I am thankful for the delegates that do go. I vote. I am very conscientious to be at annual conference and to do that and to represent you. I don't want to do that. I want to stay here with you and love you and be available to you. And I don't want to be sitting in a meeting someplace, but I do know they are necessary. Now, in May 10th through 20th, the Global United Methodist Church will come together to make some major decisions. They are hard decisions. They are controversial decisions. We're going to decide on matters like itinerancy, guaranteed appointments, same gender unions, whether preachers do them, whether they don't, whether they have a choice. We're going to decide whether the Methodist Church branches off and splits into all these different things or whether they stay the same United Methodist. And you know what is sad to me? That you will hear some of the ugliest and meanest comments that you have ever heard in your life. A bunch of Christians cannot get together and debate and have conversation and pray their way through. And that is sad to me. It is very sad to me. So this is what I'm asking you to do, because I believe in our system. I love our system. I'll be faithful to our system, and I will uphold the discipline of the United Methodist Church. That's what I vowed to do until my dying breath, and that's what I will do. But I want you not to be ignorant on this. First, you must promise me, don't believe anything you read in the press unless it is printed there, voiced there, told to the press by the Council of Bishops. The Council of Bishops is the only official public voice of the United Methodist Church. If it doesn't say we interviewed the Council of Bishops, then don't believe it. Might be true, might not be true. Might be somebody's opinion. And everybody's got one. Go online. I'm asking you to do this seriously. Go on the internet. You can go to northgeorgia.com. You can go to General Conference 2016 and look at the resolutions that are going to come before the church. Educate yourself. See how you feel. And I'll give you a list of delegates right here from North Georgia that you can write and say, this is how I feel and this is how I hope you'll vote. Because they're representative of the churches in North Georgia. Take time to do that. Educate yourself. And pray with me, particularly on February the 24th, which is the day set aside for us to pray for our Methodist church. Pray with me on that day that we all, the right, the left, and the good old Methodist middle, that we all will imitate Christ in our actions and reactions. My prayer is not so much that my side will win, as my prayer is that we are all brothers and sisters. We all have the same Father who loves us all just alike. My prayer is that Shamley First United Methodist Church will remember that our main goal is to win boys and girls and men and women to Christ. Will you join me in that prayer? The altar is always open to you. Certainly you can make one of your pew. And I'm counting on you setting aside some time on February 24th to pray for God's church. Amen.